clunkers keep getting junked.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We could get a vote later today or tomorrow in the U.S. Senate that would extend the government's Cash for Clunkers incentive program. The bill would add another $2 billion to the pot. Senate Democrats say they have the votes to get it done, and one GOP leader says the minority will not try and block the bill. Toyota's new president, Akio Toyoda, is in Michigan today talking to industry leaders there. It's been a tough ride lately for the Japanese auto company. Earlier this week, it reported losses of more than $800 million. Alisa Roth takes a look at what Toyota needs to get its groove back.
Sure, Toyota's losing money, and it's put the brakes on its expansion plans. But don't expect it to ask for a bailout or file for Chapter 11. James Womack has studied Toyota's management extensively, and he says it's important to realize the company's not in mortal danger.
This is a very brilliant company that has had a big pothole they've hit, but the wheels didn't come off the car, and they're going on down the road.
Womack says Toyota started riding too high on its success back in the 90s when it decided it needed to be the biggest car maker in the world and started expanding like mad. He says it'll have a little more competition now that the Detroit Three are figuring out how to cut their costs. And he says what it needs to do is go back to its beginnings.
They need to go back to being the underdog and to do the blocking and tackling and the problem solving every day so that they move steadily ahead but slowly.
The new president may be a sign of that return to the company's roots. His grandfather founded the firm. I'm Alisa Roth for Marketplace.
Asian shares closed lower by more than a percent today. European markets are slightly higher right now. Yesterday on Wall Street, the S&P gained about 0.3%, the NASDAQ up about, less than 0.25%, and the Dow up about 0.33%. If you're listening to this in your car right now and you're texting, the transportation secretary wants you to put that phone down. He's going to be looking into the possibility of federal regulations to cut down on distracted driving at a summit next month. Here's Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson.
Texting while driving is so common, it's now said to be one of the first things police ask about when there's an accident. At a news conference yesterday, you didn't have to do much work to decode Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood's message.
If it were up to me, I would ban drivers from texting immediately.
Washington usually leaves traffic laws up to the states, but Congress is considering cutting off federal highway funding to states that don't ban texting behind the wheel.
The majority of Americans want to make sure when they get in an automobile and they're driving down the road, the other person who's coming at them is not distracted.
Interestingly, the cell phone industry says it's on board with legislative solutions to the problem. But the industry's main trade group says a law isn't enough. It says new and experienced drivers need to be educated about the dangers of taking their hands off the wheel and their eyes off the road. I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
Members of the House are back in their home districts trying to gauge the mood of constituents. One of those lawmakers, a freshman congressman from Oregon, is taking the pulse of small businesses. They face a world of trouble, from lost credit lines and lower borrowing limits to banks that won't lend to small businesses at all. From the Entrepreneurship Desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting, Mitchell Hartman reports.
Aggravated small business owners packed a hearing room in Oregon's capital, Salem, yesterday. There were nods all around when Wilda Parks from a local chamber of commerce complained about limited access to credit.
A business person should not have to max out their personal credit card to be able to run their business successfully.
I'm hearing frustration and concern and entrepreneurial spirit.
That's freshman Democrat Kurt Schrader. He's a member of the House Small Business Committee and runs a neighborhood veterinary practice. He says he empathizes with other small business owners.
They're not looking for a government handout. Some of them would like their government to be a lot more responsive in terms of working with the banks, credit unions, and the small community banks. to free up the credit markets.
Trader says there's already been some progress. The economic stimulus package made Small Business Administration loans less risky for lenders to make, and there are now deferred payment loans at 0% interest as well. That help is welcome, at least to some business owners.
Financial situation in extremely technical terms is that I'm broke.
Jim Brunberg owns Mississippi Studios, a live music venue in Portland. It's just undergone a $500,000 renovation.
I maxed out my credit cards. I borrowed from friends. I borrowed from family. And we got a SBA loan for $350,000 through local bank. And when summer came this year, we just received more funding to sort of tide us over.
Brunberg is confident he'll be able to pay the money back once rock group bookings and concert attendance pick up. Not all small business owners want to borrow more, though, with or without SBA help. Cheryl Southwell is president of Specialty Polymers, a manufacturing firm with 80 employees.
We have the credit we have. We're going to stay within that credit. We are not spending any money because at this point in time, we don't know what the future may be.
For those that are looking for help, Congressman Schrader will be heading back to Washington with some ideas, like, for instance, using bank bailout money that's already been paid back to spur more small business lending. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Finally, this could be a case of walking away from the highest salary with the fewest words. Singer Paula Abdul said on Twitter, of all places, she's giving up her judging gig on American Idol and an eight-figure deal that would have hiked her contract 30%. Abdul says she's sad about leaving and she'll miss nurturing the talent on Idol, a phenomenon she says she, quote, helped from day one. The Fox Network and producers Fremantle Media North America and 19 Entertainment confirmed the resignation tweet and wished Abdul the best, but they did it in a statement. Not on Twitter. Season 9 auditions, by the way, kick off Friday in Denver. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us today. Have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.